Becoming a bitch when women isn't safe enough. It's about 10:30, pretty empty street, this boy hanging half out of his car and staring, I know what is coming. Because I'm walking alone, and just like hundreds of ghost girls losing pieces of themselves in some in the same situation, although I tried to avoid the interaction, he says, hi. I respond with a reluctant wave. He asks, how you doing tonight, miss?
Welcome, everybody. I am Sharon Resolution from Iambic, and this is Iambic Podcast, and I'm here with Cloudy. What's up, Cloudy? How you doing? So, I'm here with Cloudy because Cloudy not only is a poet, she is also going to be a festival organizer, and she's going to have her first acting, so now she's now a professional actress. Or technically, you're an actor because now they don't like, say, actors. They want to make you an actor. So you are now an actor also. So and she also is a published author. So we're going to talk about all those things on this show for, but I want to get in of, say hi to Cloudy. What's up, Cloudy? How you been doing?
Hey, I've been doing good. You know, it's cold outside right now.
Sorry for the lateness.
That's a little different. It's fine. I'm definitely a summer girl, but I mean, it's all right. It's the beginning of the new year.
Okay.
It's a good time.
So let you talk a little closer. So, Cloudy, so you're doing so many things. How old are you?
I'm 17.
What?
Yeah, I'm 17.
What? Wow, when I was 17, I was just trying to get around. Can I get a car? You know, can I get my job going?
I mean, hey, buy them books so I can get a car.
Touche. So yeah, speaking of which, so you wrote a book.
Yes.
Your first poetry book?
Yes, it is my first poetry
Receipt
book.
Receipt for an
Receipts of Ungiven Gifts.
Receipts yes. of Ungiven Gifts. And that's right now for $15 on Amazon. And you also have your actual physical copy and stuff?
I do have physical copies with me.
Okay.
I keep them with me as much as possible. But right. sometimes, like, I sell them along the way and stuff. And well, they don't make it to events. But it's also a good thing.
Yeah. That's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to have them ready to go. So when people, boom, I got one for you. Put up 15. That's a 10-5. No excuses. I got all the apps.
I got all the apps. Only thing I'm missing is a little square thing.
What?
Somebody They're told free. Me about it today. I know. I found it out today. I was like, that's so cool. So yeah. It's my next move.
Yeah, just order it up. Or Square, they always have it for free. You just order your own one up. If you go to like some shops, they like already have their thing already. It's like, just put your name in and then you're ready to go. Yeah. So a published book, how does that feel?
It's definitely a great accomplishment. It was a lot of emotional labor, and then like a lot of like having to sit down and like edit stuff and making sure that it was a story I wanted to tell in the right way.
Uh-huh.
But it ultimately it's a great accomplishment. It makes me feel very good about my writing, especially because people are receiving it well.
Right.
Even like people who usually would be like, oh, you're too young to be writing about something like this, or you're too like naive to know X, Y, and Z. They, like, instead of having that reaction, I've actually had, like, oh, this book was, like, a little shocking, but it was great. Like, it was beautiful. It was beautifully put in together, and it was a great, like, composition of work. And so I was really excited about that because I wasn't anticipating that much support on the book.
So the Receipts of Ungiven Gifts, where did that come from? Where did the title come from?
So me and my friend, actually, we were talking about it and I couldn't figure out a title.
Mm-hmm.
And she proposed that title.
Okay.
Because I was talking about like what the whole thing of it was. Like, I was in this relationship. It wasn't very healthy for me. And it was like, I didn't want to leave, but it was like a situation that I didn't want at the same time. She was like, well, it's something you didn't want, but you still have. And so she came up with Receipts of Ungiven Gifts. And I was like, well, that's a beautiful title, but that's your title. Like, I should not be, like, you know, putting that as the name of my book. And she was like, but I literally just came up with it for you. And I was like, okay, so her name is Mia Roberson. She's awesome.
Yeah. Shout out.
Shout out to Mia. And she was the first person who actually really supported me in like writing poetry and like would read it with me and go over it and like tell me that she liked it and that it was like worthy of other people hearing.
Right.
So I appreciate her support. She's definitely like one of the main people in that acknowledgement section that I'm talking about. And that's where it came from.
So when did all the poetry start for you?
Sixth grade.
That's 11, yeah.
At the time, I had a friend who was, she was in a really low place, and she was self-harming. And I was in a sisterhood group, Sisters of Nia, and they have a talent show every year. And so, like, I wrote this poem about it, and she didn't know it was about her, actually. And I showed it to one of my leaders inside of Sisters of Nia, and she was like, you should perform that. And I performed it at the talent show, like memorized and performed it. And then nobody clapped. Nobody liked it. It was like an audience full of petrified parents. It was like funny to me in a way because it was like, I know that I'm not that person. Like I literally wore short sleeve shirts on purpose and like had my arms out like this. So no one would like everyone could see that it wasn't me and that my family wouldn't be worried. And I like gave my family a warning before they got there. And, after that, I wasn't scared to, like, really go up and perform anywhere, though. Because, like, you can't get a worse reaction than no one clapping.
That's true, though.
And so it was, like, a growing moment.
Okay.
But that was my first time, like, performing poetry. But I had, like, written a whole bunch of little stuff, like, on the back of worksheets and stuff when I wasn't supposed to in classes.
Ah, the rebel time.
Yeah.
So I always ask this question to all the poets and stuff. There's a thing they call there's a literary poets and then there's stage poets. We guys call it the page versus the stage. What do you see yourself as? Do you feel comfortable on the page or do you feel more comfortable on the stage or both?
I feel comfortable on both. There's definitely poems that like are only meant to be on the page. Like, and if I was to read them, it wouldn't be like for performance wise, it would just be like, it's a reading of a book or like a reading of a, of like a collection or something. And then I definitely have like stage poems and poems that I want to like perfect for slams and stuff. But I'm comfortable with both. I love both. I have like really short ones and I have like super long ones.
Oh, okay.
But they're all cloudy.
Nice. So being that you're cloudy and stuff and you know, this is the first, seeing that I know you just for a brief, I've known you since the beginning of actually last year where I actually saw you and stuff. You know, you came around in Luna's cafe and I was like, okay, this is a new person. And that's cool. I was digging it. So being that you're not new to the scene, but you're new to here and everyone's cheering you on. I'm seeing you may be able to go to the slam when the next slam team starts prepping up.
Yeah, I really am trying to work on memorizing poems and, like, going to slams. And so I've memorized my first slam poem. And I memorized in hopes that I would win something. I'm going to keep that to myself for right now. But, like, that's just me putting out, like, into the universe that I'll get that award. And I really want to be able to, like, have a career in poetry.
Okay.
Like, as, like, being able to go out and, like, do workshops with people and go to schools and, like, teach, like, even inside of prisons and be able to, like, do a program with poetry for kids and stuff and also be, like, paid for performing.
Mm.
And that is, like, one of the long-term goals I have, even though it may not be the most tangible.
Yeah. In this today's society, you might as well go for your dreams instead of trying to be someone else's little cog. So
that is exactly what I'm hoping.
As much as it is, yeah, you just gotta learn what you is now. You really have to learn how to budget. This is the side you have to learn how to budget on your money, how much you need, and how much can you live off of and stuff. Because that's the main thing of everything else. So speaking of which, and let me segue over. So you're going to have your first acting debut in the new play written by Emmy Incredible Poet, and he directed it, and also you'll be playing with Jabri Iso, and it's called When I Get Free. Tell me about that.
So the play is it's surrounding like this young man, and basically I, in the play, play his mother. And so I'm like, get up. Like, I need you to go and, like, get a job and, like, do better. And I don't want you to end up like the rest of the men in our family. And inside this play, they had died. And it's him, like, going through this struggle of, like, should I go to the streets to try and get where the quote-unquote real money is, like, the fast money, or should I go and, like, get a real job and try and live an honest life? And I think that that's a struggle that's, like, really prominent inside the minority and, like, impoverished communities, because it's, like, we can try and get a job, but we're going to get judged. Right. Or we can go out on the street corner where we know it's easy and fast and it's untaxed. And I think that that's a really hard, like, situation to be in. And I've definitely seen, like, people in my own family, people, like, friends of mine, like, go through that struggle, and some end up on the right path and some end up on the wrong path, and some are just kind of stuck in, like, a cycle. And it's kind of disheartening to see, like, right in your own backyard. And I think that the play has a good message, and that it's something that needs to be seen more than once. So I'm hoping that we get to do it more than once.
So this strikes home for you. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's pretty deep. Yeah. And I see that I also saw that Umbe Kuhu's playing in it, mm-hmm. as one of the prisoners, OG. Mm-hmm. And then also a rapper, Ad Weasel. He's going to be singing the Escape song.
Yep.
So you got a big group of cast members that all are striving for it, yep, to be good and stuff. And also it's going to be playing at the Uli Theater, mm-hmm, and it's going to be on the 8th of February.
Yes.
So if y'all haven't got your tickets yet, get your tickets, because they're running out. They're yes, making, they're trying to sell the stay out. She already sold her tickets out, so y'all need to get ready to get some tickets from somebody else, or get it from there, or go down there and get your tickets for it, because it's gonna be bomb. And I read it's gonna be all in poems.
So there's gonna be like a little bit of dialogue,
yeah,
and there's gonna be like parts where that dialogue goes with a poem. So I know like that in the scenes that I'm in, like I say lines and like somebody will exit, and then I have like the stage and it's like a monologue, but it's in poem form.
Oh.
And then like there's other monologues which are songs and raps, and it's really beautiful. I really think that was a great concept. So Michael Incredible calls it a poetic play, and I think that that's beautiful.
Okay.
Because I haven't heard that before, and I'm really excited to be a part of that.
So you've now seen monologues. How do you, because I know everything is always weird interchangeably, what is known as a play, what is known as a monologue, what's known as a poem, what's known as dialogue, what's known as a speech. You know, you got all these different things where it just comes down to a big page of words and you're just reading them off and you're trying to make sure that everyone gets it, either if it's in a song or if there's music behind it or there's no music behind it, or a cappella. So does this now, seeing that this is part of your, now it's going to be part of your life. Ooh, sorry. That's not me. Oh, that was a timer. That's my time's up. But no, seeing that this is going to be now part in your vernacular and stuff, how do you feel about it?
I think that it's really interesting because I kind of just think of them interchangeably, like monologue and poem, at least for this particular performance, because it is just me alone on the stage. And like when you're inside of the theater business, you alone on the stage speaking to the crowd, that's a monologue.
Right.
But at the same time, it was, the poems are original poems and they were intended to be poems. And so I don't think that I could just say that they were just words that were meant to be read. They're a poem. They're meant to be read with emotion and in a certain way. And they're meant to be received a certain way as art. So that is my take on that.
Because there is the vagina monologues that does go on every, yes, is going to go on next month, which is February. And they do the same thing where they just do a full monologue on different topics and stuff, but it's all about women.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to it. It's an incredible show. Actually, Beck has actually performed in one and was one of the characters in. Did a very bang up job. Auntie Vi, she played one of the characters and did a bang up job too. So I even got video of that. So she tried
you
not to
show me that.
She tried to tell me not to show it much, but I said she did a bang up job. But whatever. But anyway, so you're doing plays, but you're also organizing a festival.
Yes.
Tell me about that. What's this festival called?
So this festival is called Literary Legends.
Literary Legends.
Okay. Literary Legends. Okay. Yes. I was really stuck on trying to figure out the name for so long because I didn't want it to be like cliche, like, come find your voice and, like, stuff like that. It works. Which is, like, it works, but I want it to be a little different. And, I mean, I guess it's still kind of cheesy, but I love alliteration. So okay. Literary legends is what I have and what I'm proud of. And so I basically just, I realized that after I started going to Luna's, there's such a bigger community of poets inside of Sacramento.
Yes, there is.
And, like, they are amazing. They're from so many different, like, thresholds and, like, diverse backgrounds. Like, we have punk poets, and we have silly poets and comedic poets, and we have very serious poets, and all of these people who, like, come together in one place because they love the same thing.
Yeah.
And I just feel like there should be something to celebrate that. And so my school doesn't do senior projects, and me being a little different, I gave myself a senior project to make the festival. And I want it to be like the thing that I leave in Sacramento in case I go to college outside of Sacramento.
Okay.
And so I'm hoping that after I do it this year, someone will carry on the tradition. And I'm going to try and find that person before I leave. But the whole goal is that people get to celebrate the literary arts on this day. They get to come together. They get to network. They get to enjoy this space and, like, connect, and then hopefully evolve in the community and, like, know that they're not alone and know that there's a place where they can go and, like, do open mics and do slams and travel with people to go do other things and join teams and communities and just, like, have even jam sessions, you know? Like, there's been people that I've met at Luna's where we just go meet up at a coffee shop or, like, Denny's, and we just write and eat for a few hours. And that's, even that is just, like, quality time. And it's better than sitting by yourself and, like, just trying to find inspiration when you can talk to somebody and make that connection. And so that's what this whole festival is kind of built around. I just want people to be able to connect and, like, grow that community.
What? 17 people. 17 folks. I mean, come on now. Were you thinking this way when you were 17? No. I wasn't thinking this way when I was 17. I mean, wow. You are really trying to organize an actual connection, a connection for everyone to come to, a safe ground for everyone to come to so they can get as much poetry as can. I'll back you on that one. I mean, it's definitely, I'm definitely seeing that as an opportunity for, even for Sacramento need. I mean, beyond, we already have First Fest and some other stuff. We don't really, we only had one time here when I've been in Sacramento where poets were able to be on the streets. And that was, it was like the Streets of Broadway show and stuff. Basically, all of Broadway got from all the way out over to 36, all the way up to 5th, got shut down. And we had the whole block of Broadway. And SPC brought their side. And they put up a booth, and then also Mahogany put up their booth close to their section and stuff. And basically, we're just out in the streets, poetry, just doing poetry and seeing people walk by, and they're, you know, seeing us vibe and stuff. And it was incredible, because it was just something that means you come out of the rooms that we've been hidden in, and now you're going on the street where normal people are just walking by and just seeing you go out like, okay, what's going on here? Because we also have that is guerrilla poetry, which is done by ZFG. Mm-hmm. They do guerrilla poetry in April, where they just basically, someone has a video camera, they pick a random spot, and they just start off with everything. Agnes, he's basically done one where he got on button poetry. A few other people have done some other, and it's one of those things where you don't suspect poetry should be played at this restaurant. You don't suspect poetry should be played in this bus. You don't suspect, mm-hmm. you know, and they're just trying to make sure that anywhere it can be.
Anywhere can be your stage. Anywhere can be your stage. That's beautiful.
I hope you get with all those guys. I mean, tell them everything about this is going to happen. We need this to happen, because the way you're coming out with it, even just you yourself, I'm cherishing it, because as a young person, you want something to happen. You want to keep, you want Sacramento to blow, flourish, because we have a lot of people here that should. So,
and I just feel like going along with that, like, poetry, a lot of people think, like, when they think about it, they think about the stereotypical, like, old, old white man in his, like, in, a, like, a coffee shop angry at the world. And, you know, like, yeah, there are those poets, and some of them are really cool, and some of them are just cranky.
Yes, yeah.
And then we have, like, poets such as myself, like, young people. There are people who write poems about milkshakes and smoothies and work and, like, 40 love letters. And we have crazy ex-girlfriend poems. And there's just so many ways to express yourself in them. And I feel like if more people had that outlet, we would have a better world. Like, literally, that is my philosophy, that if people were able to sit down and write how they feel in whatever capacity that is and, like, share that with people or just keep it for themselves, they would be able to, like, think about things before they, like just instead of bottling it up. And that is healthier, and that is beautiful, and that is poetry.
The only thing in the universe I love more than words is you, forever and always you. I think I'd do anything to be close to you, to hold you in my mouth, to have some type of affinity over you. For so very long I wanted to be rather raveled in your ethereal existence.
Yeah, I feel that. I mean, even with the climate now, with Sacramento changing for these last 2 years and stuff, and we're seeing a lot of the mom and pop stores leaving, and or even people getting pushed out of their homes and stuff. There's a cry here. There's a battle cry, and people are trying to speak up, and not everyone's getting their words out. So I think it's necessary that we need this to happen and stuff. What surprised me when you were talking to me today was that you like the book, Love Letters from the Universe. Tell me about it. What do you like about it?
So one of the things that I'm also very adamant on is repro rights, so reproduction rights. And a lot that encompasses that is like rape culture and like setting boundaries and being able to claim your body. And the author, She does amazing with that. She touches all the lines, like all the points that I truly believe in, and I wasn't expecting it. Like when you think about BDSM and kink and stuff, you don't think about how it can help vanilla lives. Like you don't think about how you can integrate that, like the morals and the boundaries and stuff. And reading it and like seeing the relationship advice and how it can make relationships better and healthier, and how even like putting a national safe word out, it would change rape culture. It would protect so many people, and it would be so easy to claim your body and to be comfortable in your skin and to be more safe. And that book, like, it was beautiful to me. I've read it twice, and I got it like 3 weeks ago. I've definitely recommended it to half the people I know already.
Okay.
I just think it was beautifully written, like 100%.
Okay, that book was done by Auntie Vice. She was on the second episode of Iambic Podcast, and yeah, so I will tell her that. I will let her know that she might even come down and you sign your copy. Just make sure,
yay,
unless you haven't signed it tonight. But no, so. One thing I did bring you here for, because you're going to be doing my show on my Monday poetry reading show in April, and I wanted to, and that's why I wanted you on this show. I did get audio and video of you when you did the Cafe Colonial. So that poem right there, that strikes a lot of people. What is that poem called? What's it about?
This poem gonna hurt.
This poem gonna hurt?
This poem gonna hurt. That is the name of that poem.
Like licking frozen spoons, like my lineage never really loved, just settled. Settling is what they did best, and I'm terrified of stepping on the neck of my dream just to double what my parents did and dodge their disappointment. Spitting this is gonna hurt. Like eczema in the winter and 400 years of slavery, this poem gonna dig deep like wells waiting water, and how the world is on fire at its core. I've been burning to beat this bondage to barriers. I wanna speak sweet symphonies.
What brought that poem? Because there's so much in there to unpack. So what brought that poem to fruition? Because when you do it, it's almost, I'm gonna like this. When you do that poem, it's like how J-Ro does her woman poem or her knicker poem. They basically go out. You know, it's one of those things where it's not, I'm not trying to attack you, but you are seeing these things and you're not doing anything damn about it. And when I hear you do it, it's like, oh, she's going in.
usually I, like beforehand, I tried to stay away from political poems, like poems about being black and angry and like where I came from and stuff. And I tried to be like the professional black girl, like to get into the good colleges and stuff and present myself to the internships and all that correctly. And then I was like reading some, I don't remember what it was, but I was reading something one day and it was like, we have to stop code switching and making people, like oppressors, feel more comfortable in our, like in our presence. And I was like, that's so right. And then I started listening to Jorge Quintana's his podcast. Yes. And like that, it revisited that. Yeah, Spirits of Poetry is dope. And he hit a lot of those points, like why is X, Y, and Z happening? It's in their nature. Be authentic, like tell your truth. Don't be scared of going out there. And I was like, I've been scared to talk about myself. I've been scared to talk about where I've come from. And it's going to hurt to say this, but it needs to be said. Because it's not just my story. It's so many other people's story. It's my family's story. It's going to be someone else's story one day. It's 100 people before me, their story. And, you know, and I just thought that it needed to be said and that it was beautiful. So.
That's a 17-year-old talking with an old soul right there. That's some knowledge for y'all. So y'all need to listen. It's 2020 now. Just time to wake up. And because this poem might hurt, so y'all need to hear it. But no, so what's so are you going to be performing in Slam coming up or anything?
I'm hoping to do the Slam here in March at the Sacramento Poetry Center. Okay. I am preparing for it. I'm trying to memorize another one of my poems.
You don't have to memorize them. You can sing them.
I know, but I have this thing, like if I'm going to slam and I'm going to perform, I want to perform like a slam poet.
Okay.
I want it to be like, bam.
I feel you. Yeah. I feel you. You don't have to be like Ike. Ike gets all into it. Ike Torres. He beats
Ike gets all into it.
He runs around stage. You're like, man, stop. Ike, man, you're going to lose your... You got Kool-Aid or what are you? Kool-Aid, man? What's going on there, Ike? But no, yeah. You don't have to be that way. But, you know, they do have people. I always think that just like a rapper, my rapper mentality is memorize. Because if I memorize it, I don't have to... have nothing in my hands. I can use a mic or something and I can just use my hands moving around and stuff. So,
and plus, like, it's easier to just perform a poem without, like, seeing it in front of you than trying to go back and forth, like, between staring at the audience and, like, at your phone, because then you stumble more. Yeah. And just it's better for performance-wise. You get to move more. You get to, like, embody the poem more. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm working towards that.
Okay. See, that's what 17-year-olds out there should be doing. But she's also got something else going on. What, you got a prom coming up too?
Ah, yes, I have prom. And I do not know what to do yet for it.
You got a play coming up, you got slam coming up, you got a festival coming up, and then you're gonna try to get a dress come up so you can go to prom.
Yes.
Wow. I gotta give her a golf clap, because I mean, even when I was in school, I was like, man, I just want to just get out of this place. I don't care what else we do.
Well, I think, like, the educational system is, like, a huge thing. Like, everybody goes through it, at least in America. Everybody goes through it. It shapes young minds. And there has to be something in the education system that gives kids hope. Like, you know, like, there has to be something there that's good, that's going to help our children. AKA me right now.
Right.
And I've always loved school because I'm a nerd for sure. But there's like been other people, like my peers, that don't like school because they just don't get English or they don't get math. And I'm one of those people who just don't get math. And they think because they're not good, quote unquote, good at school, that they don't have any other options. And that's a part of that poem that I wrote. Like, we got kids in cages. They, like, when they get out, gonna be working for minimum wages because they don't think they can make it anywhere else. It's just a sad system.
It's a sad system, man. You're not going to be part of it because I already see it right now. You're vicious.
Yes.
Savage. So I always tell people this, stay uncomfortable, because if you stay uncomfortable, you'll basically always know when something's coming at you. You don't have to be, you know, standoffish from people. Just keep your eye on something and just kind of look up. That doesn't sound right. And just kind of keep your mind on that, because just like everything else, these office jobs, men, women, friends, you business, whatever happens, you always want to have just a little bit of a step back just to see where this is going. and just have an idea of, okay, how is this going to play out in your mind? Even with a poem, how is this going to play out in my mind? You want to go out raw, but you never know what the crowd's going to bring. So, yeah. So, always stay uncomfortable. But we got so much going on here. Cowdy, tell us where we can find your stuff, your work, your messages, everything in social media world.
Let
us know.
So, first, you can find my book that has a lot of poems inside of it.
How many poems?
It has about 67, I want to say.
That's a book.
Some are long, some are short, but it does have a lot of poems in it. And those are all like along the lines of relationships and intimacy. And that's that collection. So it's called Receipts of Ungiving Gifts. And then on Instagram, I am signed.cloudy. That is Instagram. And then on Facebook, which I just joined, I am signed Cloudy.
Yes, you're a sound client.
So you can start finding me on there. And so on Instagram, I don't have much of my face on that page, but I swear it's me. And on Facebook, I only have one thing on there, and it's a video of me. So I'm going to put more of my face on Instagram because I feel like I need to be able to stand up next to my work, and putting my face on there again with my work is a part of that. So you guys will see more of me on there.
Most definitely. But you do need to get yourself a website. I don't care how it's a blog website. There's a lot of free ones out there. Just get yourself a website with your name on it so we know where we can go beyond Instagram and Facebook to go see what you're about.
I gotta get good with all that tech stuff.
not that much tech. I'll help you out.
All right.
We're gonna get you your own website.
Yes.
You can promote your book like you should.
Yes.
But now, thank you, Cloudy, for coming on. And you are coming out to my show in April. And I want y'all to go out there and go see Cloudy do this play over at Uli Theater, February 8th. It's $12 at the door. If you can, you might want to call them up and see if you can get tickets earlier. Call up Incredible Poet. He basically is the director. He might have some tickets on himself, but just go over there to Uli Theater and they'll have the tickets, or you can go online and check it out. Plus, Cloudy's going to be doing Slam. Slam is going to be in March 2nd. It's a wild time. We had it December 2nd. Now it's going to be March 2nd. I don't know how that happened. And Cloudy, I believe she's going to be one of the people participating. And I hope she is, because a lot of vicious people and there's some money on the table. So I hope that she gets into it. Plus, keeping an eye out for the festival coming out. Literary Legends. Literary Legends, people. And it's going to be in May. So Cloudy's busy. So y'all got to go. She's working. She got something going on in February. She got something going on in March. She got something going on in April. She got something in May. That's a lot of Cloudy right there. That's a lot of Kimberly's Cloudy right there. That's a weathering thing right there. That's a Cloudy moment. So
I'm always hanging around.
It may not be raining, but no, it's always cloudy. You can take that. All right, people. Take care. All right, peace. And that's the end of our episode. Please go to our website, iambic.blogspot.com. Please send any emails that you may have to iambiczine@gmail.com. Our Facebook page at iambicmag. Twitter and Instagram, iambiczine. Our iambic podcast can be found on all streaming services. Music by Mr. Resolution. The show has been recorded and edited by Asterius Productions. And we'll see you at the next show. Bye.